Welcome to the Heart Soul Wisdom Podcast, a journey of self-discovery and transformation. Moira Sutton and her amazing guests share real-life stories, tools, and strategies to inspire and empower you to create and live your best life. Come along on the journey and finally blast through any fears, obstacles, and challenges that have held you back in the past, so you can live your life with the joy, passion, and happiness that you desire. Now, here's your host, Create the Life You Love Empowerment Life Coach, Moira Sutton.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 35, Reclaim the Magical Quality of Your Life with international speaker and relaxation coach, Faye Lawan. Faye is an internal conflict resolution expert, stress elimination specialist, relaxation coach, international speaker, global citizen, and founder of the 7R formula for rapid transformation. Faye was born into conflict and chaos in the Middle East, and she unknowingly took the patterns of internal conflict with her, even after leaving the area of conflict and immigrating to Canada. Over the course of 15 years, she battled with the symptoms of burnout, including fatigue, insomnia, depression, anxiety, and pain. She has developed a unique solution to reset the nervous system and work with the subconscious mind in a way that is quick, natural, safe, and effective with long-lasting results to reclaim the magical quality of your life. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Faye Lawan. Welcome, Faye.
Hi, Moira. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for that warm welcome.
You are welcome. Seeing that's cold where we were sharing just before we started our heartfelt conversation that it's cold down in New Zealand right now. And
yes, it's the middle of winter here.
But I love the seasons, and I love that, you know, the idea. Well, winter, you can cozy up, you know, Faye, you know, yes. That we just bought a new home. We didn't realize when we looked at the home that it didn't have fireplaces. We've always had a fireplace upstairs and downstairs. But we felt, you know, Nova Scotia is totally different, the heating system. And we do have a fire pit outside for the summer. So there you go.
Oh, wonderful. I hope you're not going to need it too much in the summer, Moira.
No, it'd be fun to go down there and enjoy the fire and listen to maybe loons or something.
And grill some marshmallows, maybe.
Yeah, s'mores, right? S'mores when we were kids.
Yes.
So, Faye, I'd like to really start here with your own personal story and your journey to healing and the transformation that you experienced in your life.
Yes. As you mentioned in the intro, I was born in the Middle East and in Lebanon, actually, in the 1970s. And as you know, and as your listeners know, the Middle East is a part of the world that is mired with trouble and conflict and chaos, and has been since the beginning of my life journey anyway. So I was born right before the start of that Lebanese civil war of the 70s, which spanned about 15 years, and it claimed the lives of hundreds of thousands of people, and it displaced millions of others. And so my family and I, we were in that statistic, Moira, of families that left the country pretty early on in the peace. So we were there for maybe a few months to a year. We experienced the conflict for about a few months to a year before we left. And the story, the narrative that I always took with me is that, you know, we left early on. I was 5 when I left. My younger brother was about 3. My little sister was about 1.5. And so the narrative that I took, that I was told, and that I accepted to be true was that we weren't impacted by the war. We were some of the lucky ones. We didn't experience the war the way other people had. And while that's so much of that is true, and there was a real knowledge of being grateful for not living in that, in the horrors of the war, there was a disconnect in the feeling, you know, like I never felt grateful on the inside. It was really difficult to access those positive internal states come with gratitude. And so there was this battle between knowing something and not feeling it inside yourself. And so fast forward into my adult life, things were starting to crumble in all areas of my life. My career was in shambles. So in my first career, I was in teaching. I was in education. So my teaching career was in shambles. I was burning out in that, had massive, massive lack of purpose and meaning, even in a career like education, where you're giving so much, where there is so much innate purpose in that. Mm-hmm. My personal relationships were a mess. It was impossible for me to find any happiness within a romantic relationship. And I really craved it on the inside. I just couldn't be happy within a relationship. And also my personal health was terrible. My sleep was shockingly bad. I had horrible low self-esteem, pounding headaches the whole time, anxiety attacks that I could not explain. This low mood where on the outside there was such a veneer of positivity and cheerfulness, you know, and that's a very, very painful. I see it now a lot in my clients and in my clinic with my clients where we show one face to the world and we live with another reality on the inside. Mm-hmm. That has so much pain and so much further internal conflict. And I had a lot of chronic pain as well. Anyway, so I was living with all of these symptoms, not just kind of like normalizing it because, you know, there somehow also I received the message from the culture where I was living that it's normal because many people around me weren't sleeping. Many people around me had chronic pain. Many people were unhappy and dissatisfied with their life. So I normalized what didn't feel natural. Mm-hmm. And you know, Moira, yes, it seems quite normal, mainstream and common. By normal, I mean common, that people are battling with these symptoms because there's a prevalence of them. But just because something is normal, it doesn't mean it's natural. Our natural state is not to be unwell. It's not to be unhappy and it's not to be unfulfilled. That's not our natural state. But of course, I didn't know that then. And so I just going until I couldn't go anymore. And
then we get stopped at times. Like, you know, we can get stopped in, like with accidents or illness or, you know, like we're being told, and we're going to talk about that, some nudges that you had that, you know, if we listen and see what's happening, you know, I believe that everything's happening for the greater good.
Absolutely.
Yes. And, but it's to see that when you're not in that place to think, yes, this is for something bigger than I can see because I have my vision and my mission, but that bigger, bigger picture, just let go. I do a lot of surrendering and, I want to talk to you about that too. But we're going to talk about that too. Letting go.
You know, we're not taught how to read the signs of that come from the inside. You know, I don't know about you, but I never heard that message. I never got that message. First of all, I never got the message that it's okay not to be okay. I never heard that message. Mm-hmm. And so I kept fighting not being okay. So creating further internal conflict. And I wasn't getting the results that I wanted. And you talked about eventually things catch up with you. And yes, they did. I mean, all of these unresolved internal conflicts caught up with me in a very real way one day on my way to work. Now, at this point, I was living in Curacao in the Caribbean. So I was basically living where other people vacation. Imagine that. And, you know, so I was living, I had it all. I was living like by the beach, beautiful palm trees everywhere. I mean, like it was totally the life. Now, when I look back at it, I'm like, my God, Trey, I can't believe you actually lived where other people vacation. But life wasn't a vacation. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a vacation at all because life was so difficult. And so I had also a lot of disease towards the buildup of my big meltdown. I had a lot of dizzy spells and a lot of fainting spells. And one morning, it really, really caught up with me. I was driving on my way to work, Moira, and I totally lost control of the car. And the car went spinning. And I passed out behind the wheel of the car. And the car went spinning. And it landed on the other side of the road. And when I came to, it was just a few moments that I had fainted, but it felt like an eternity. Mm-hmm. And I could not explain what happened. I was petrified. And
I would think you'd be petrified if you black out and you end up at the other side. And you're,
yes.
Was the car flipped over or were you?
No. Nope. Well, luckily nothing happened to me and nothing happened to the car.
Well, you had angels with you that day.
Totally. I mean, yes. I had angels with me throughout my life. I just didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Anyway, and because I was a teacher at the time, right? So one layer of the fear was what happened and how do I explain it myself? The other layer of fear is how do I explain it to someone else when you're late for work? Like, what do you tell your boss? Hey, I'm late to work because I lost control of the car. I passed out behind the wheel of the car. That's worse than telling a teacher that the dog ate your homework.
It's like the logical mind kicked in, right? Instead of just from the heart, like this really happened. And, you know, and if somebody can't really understand that, but yes, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves.
We totally do. And we don't give other people the opportunity to show their kindness and their humanity, because now the same boss who knows my story is horrified that I was going through what I was going through and she didn't know. So she, in a way, we cut off the opportunity for other people to extend support, because that's who we are as humans. We want to be there for each other. Mm-hmm. But if we're always hiding behind a mask of being okay and not showing that we're not okay, we're not allowing other people the opportunity to help and be there for us, just like we would like to be there for others.
I think that's a learning lesson, especially for women, because I know that when I was in my early 30s, I had a lump removed that they didn't know if it was cancer or not. Luckily, it was not. But after that, I was told not to do certain things. And I was the one that had a perfect cleaned home, you know, and it was a big thing to learn to allow others to do things. And I've seen that with many people where they just, oh no, I got to get that done. And we don't, you know, I'm 62, young, and I am, I have a young nature, but you know, I look at that and well, I've learned it now. I've learned that, you know, I have healthy boundaries. I have for many, many, many years. And, you know, I tell people I need space, or, you know, I take the time for that, because I really can't show up for people as a coach, as a speaker, in any, for my family, for anyone in my life, unless I take care of me first, starting with self-love, right?
100%. I always say, you know, like self-care and self-love and well-being, they're not luxuries. Like, especially in the world in which we live today, I think they're just non-essentials for resilience and being well. Because I think in no time in history have we had the demands on us that living in 2021 places on our nervous system. And if we don't make and create and take time to reset and just be, eventually we will wear out. The nervous system is not equipped to deal with all of the information and all of the stimulation that we now experience in our environments around the world.
I get that. So do you have a reset exercise that you could share with us today? Or?
Yes, absolutely. So a non-negotiable for me, Moira, and you experienced that a little bit as we were coordinating our meeting, is how I relate to technology and how I relate to my phone. Like, I am so disciplined around taking time away from the phone and time away from devices and time away from technology. And so just like intermittent fasting is so amazing for your gut health, I do digital intermittent fasting daily. And what that looks like is every day, about half an hour before I turn in, I turn off the phone. And I keep the phone turned off all through the night. And then until I wake up the next morning, I do my practice, I shower, I get dressed, I prepare my breakfast, and then I switch it on and I connect with technology and the agendas of other people again. Mm-hmm. And so I'm on the phone for at least 10 hours a day. Those 10 hours, I'm not hyper connected. Because the thing is, especially, you know, when you in those moments right before you drop off night and right after awakening, the brain is so suggestible. The mind is so suggestible because the brain frequencies are so slow. They slow down in order for us to go to sleep. And during that time, in the slowness of the brainwave activity, we have access to our subconscious mind, the part of our mind that basically is driving show. So if in those critical moments of suggestibility and receptivity, we are being externalized by scrolling our social media or checking news or looking at emails, right away, we are consuming the agenda of other people and we're at default. So we're thinking the thoughts of other people. We're thinking the opinions of other people. We're thinking about what other people are doing. We're thinking about what other people want from us. Instead of just being with ourselves and connecting to ourselves, because your internal, you have an inner awareness and an inner guidance that totally knows what you need to do, and what it takes in order for you to be well and healthy, happy, and successful. But if in those moments you're not taking that time to be with yourself and you're externalized, you're going to go for the rest of the day feeling overstimulated and disconnected and unanchored to a sense of internal grounding. So this is a non-essential practice for me. And, you know, it is one that when I work on with my clients one-on-one, one of the first things I have them do, even before we do any private coaching, is I put them on a digital reset plan. Within 3 days, they come back to me and they tell me they've started feeling the difference, noticing the difference. Of course. Because the nervous system knows how to take care of us.
So that's a great wisdom gem for people because, yes, you know, I work from home also. I've been an entrepreneur for over 30 years and my office has been at home. And when I did healing work and that, I had an office outside of the home with the home too. And it's a real discipline when it's in your home. It's very easy to walk in that door and, you know, and now I have not only the computer in my room and everything, you know, you have these laptops you can take anywhere.
Yes.
So, you know, it's on a lot. And frankly, I'm not on it a lot. I was this last month and so with selling a house and finding a home to the point we were all burning out because, you know, it was just too much to keep looking at that. And not just with that, the emotional state. This is something in Nova Scotia, like the home sells, but they don't have to put either pending. They don't have to put sold. Here in Ontario, you have to do it within so many hours, 24, 48 or something to say that, because when you get invested in a home and you think it's for sale and then you find out, oh, sold again, sold again, sold again. And, you know, it's just too much. So, you know, how do you define burnout? Like, I know we're talking about it, but how do you define it?
So burnout, if you think about it, I mean, it's basically when everything is gone, there's nothing left on the inside, right? It's like when you're depleted, you know, when something burns or burns out, it's depleted, it's deleted. There's nothing left on the inside. And so the way I define burnout, the way I see it in my clients and the way I experienced it within myself, that when I was burnt out, there was nothing left. There was no energy left. There was no joy left. There was no fulfillment. There was no purpose. There was no meaning. There was no no well-being. There was no positivity. It was all gone. Mm-hmm. It was all gone. And, you know, when that happens, life is difficult. But life is not meant to be difficult. We are not meant to be here to struggle, Moira. I really don't believe that we're not meant here. We're not created to come into this world, into this life to struggle.
No, I agree. I do agree, though, with if we have challenges in our life or obstacles, how we perceive them, that there's an opportunity for growth. And
100%.
I think, yes, and we're all about expansion. The universe loves expansion. You know that. I know that. And to expand ourselves to new experiences, new ways of being. And I think this with this pandemic, you know, there's an opportunity there that a lot of people have taken too. They're rethinking their lives. I talked to my best friend the other day and we were talking about this and she was saying that, you know, because again, we can't because we're doing a big move, so you're getting all the move stuff, eh? That, you know, you pay by weight. And so we're thinking, don't take that, don't take that. So I'm unloading so much, let it be, sell it, give it away, donate it, just move it out. And because it's stuff. And so my friend said that her friend, just her student, she's an artist, just moved to Nova Scotia. And she said she really started thinking, again, you know, more of a minimalist. What do I need this stuff for? Do I really need it? Is it really serving me? And I think that's a great opportunity and for people to connect with their family, their children, and to have that time away from that busy, you know, that busy life. So
you asked me earlier about practices for resetting the nervous system. There's two more that are total non-negotiables. The other one is every day really, truly checking in with myself and paying attention when I ask the question, how am I? You know, like so many times we ask people around us the question, how are you? Rarely do you get a really honest, authentic answer, right, Moira?
I do in my family, but that's the way we communicate. But yes, outside, maybe not. In my family, I do communicate that very clearly. but I understand what you're saying. A lot of people just say, oh, I'm fine, and they're not.
They're not fine. And a lot of times, you know, either that's what we tell ourselves, or we don't ask ourselves the question and really notice how we are. So daily, I check in and I notice, how does my body feel? Like, what's going on in my body? Noticing sensations. I mean, now we know the practice of somatics and somatic therapies are so fundamental in resolving trauma at the nervous system level, which is the level at which the trauma is created and stored. So the working with sensations is so important for healing the nervous system and keeping it resilient and robust. So checking in with the sensations, noticing the sensations in the body, you get a sense of how the body is. And then checking in, you know, with my breathing. Okay, how am I breathing? Noticing and acknowledging that I'm breathing.
Yes, the miracle of life.
Checking in with my emotions and checking in with my thoughts, and then stepping back and noticing what else I notice. This simple practice, which takes less than 3 minutes, has been a life changer for me. And this is the same practice I start off all my clients with, and it is amazing what comes up, because you don't know. Just because you're not aware that you're sad or angry or there's tension in your body or stiffness in a part of your body, it doesn't mean it's not there. It doesn't mean it's not there. And eventually, because all of these imbalances inside are looking for resolution, they will come to the surface sometimes in a moment of crisis or in a really heightened situation. And so this is a preventative measure to understanding first what's going on, but also preventing these symptoms from escalating to a point of crisis. Mm-hmm. And the other practice, which is non-negotiable for me, is eliminating two words from my language, and that is the word should and its derivatives: should, have to, need, must, ought. That is such a restrictive, you know, because language comes from the part of our mind where emotion is created. Emotion drives the nervous system and the mind. So when we are using restrictive language, we are putting ourselves in a restrictive mindset, cut off from possibility.
Yes. And I love that you brought that up, because I've been saying that for years. And, you know, should, no, it can be a could, you know, yes. you have a choice again. If somebody's telling you should, from an NLP, from NLP standpoint, it's literally, if you think somebody's pointing a finger at you saying you should do that, no, I could do that. I'll think about
absolutely.
That. Thank you. You know, I'll make the choice of what I'm doing, but that should, or you shouldn't dress like that, or you should dress like that. I am so for, that's why my tagline is create the life you love on your terms. Mm-hmm. It's no one else's terms, not your half in your life, the love of your life, not your children, not your mother, not your best friend. It's your life.
Yes.
You get to own the good, the bad, the ugly, and you are the director. And if we take responsibility, how we respond to things in the moment, you know, we get to also celebrate all the wins in that. And frankly, I think a lot of people are really hard on themselves. And instead of just being you, that is such a movement for me, just to, you know, the freedom to be you, uniquely you, because there's not another soul on the earth that is like each individual.
I agree 100%. And the other thing that happens when you are in that should mindset and that should mentality is from a neurological point of view, you're operating from the default center of the brain and of the nervous system. In that default center part of the brain and the nervous system, you're in this story. You're in the autobiography, in the self-autobiography. You're in that negative looping state. You're in a very, you're in very much in the habitual part of the mind. When you step out and you start using more expansive language like could or might, you're in the present-centered network of the brain. The present-centered network of the brain is where the magic happens. That's where, as you mentioned, there's possibility. There's expansion. There's choice. There's pause. There's insights. We don't have insights when we are in our default, where when we are in the should, when we're in restriction, there's no insight. We're just on auto-repeat there.
So So for someone to unleash their full potential, access their full potential, and then really embody this and live this like every day, how does internal, like I know you're sharing a lot, but again, I would love an exercise again that you shared, that how people can do that, because there again, each one of us has a unique soul purpose. And part of my mission is for people to, you know, discover that and like, we were just saying, embody that, live that, be that magical, as you're saying, reclaim that magical quality of their life, because it's precious. It's a gift. It's a huge gift.
And Moira, it is wired into us biologically. I mean, I know when we hear it, like it's in all of the philosophical texts and it's in all of the wisdom texts and it's in all of the spiritual texts, you know, that whole idea of we are created magical and we are like, I know it's in all of that. And I totally believe that. But I love that now we live in an age where science can also back up what we've known for eternity. And now science is showing that our nervous systems that are wired, we are biologically hardwired to live magically, because that part of the nervous system that isn't the fight, flight, freeze is the part of ourselves and the part of our biology, the part of our neurology that can give us what we want, that can give us what we crave for, that can give us what we desire and what we deserve. But here's the problem. The problem is, first of all, we don't know about it. We don't know about it until we need to know about it. It's not, I never heard this message, ever heard this message until I was 47. That's the first part, that there isn't enough, we don't know enough about the nervous system. It's not as mainstream as I think it needs to be, but the things are starting to change now. And the other part is that we spend so much time in the doing part of the nervous system, in the fight, flight, freeze of the nervous system, so that eventually those stress responses become so unregulated that we're totally disconnected from the other branch of the nervous system that knows how to give you what you want. That part, that branch of the nervous system that's about magic, it knows how to make you happy and healthy and successful and thriving. And by thriving, I mean like living the life that you want. But the problem is that we spend too much time in that doing mode, in that thinking mode, in that fight flight mode.
Or freeze.
And the nervous system is created with a capacity to rebound. But it can't switch the button on its own. We need to switch the button in order for the nervous system to know, to do what it knows how to do, which is heal, which is to repair, which is to restore, which is to digest, which is to reproduce, and which is to rejoice. Mm-hmm. The nervous system knows how to do that.
But yeah, our bodies, if you think about it, our bodies, like I was staring at my wrist the other day and just the pulsing, you know, below the wrist and just fascinated by my own body, you know, thinking,
yes,
look at that. And, you know, you think about your heartbeat and stuff and just how our body just and nature and everything, we're part of nature. It's just a miracle if you stop and look at it. And I also studied neuroplasticity for a little while years ago and how, you know, that from the hard wire to the soft wire and that we can change things. We're not, you know, dead set in certain ways. Again, we have choice, we have freedom and to, you know, and the things that we desire, like you said, we can have all those things. I think it's really trusting and believing and knowing. For me, it's part of that law of attraction to ask and then trust, know, believe, and allow. And I think if we get out of our own way in many aspects of our life, you know, magic happens. Like you said, reclaiming the magic. Again, because this has just happened, you know, we did put an offer in another home. And, you know, we did it quite quickly and it was quite the investment. It was not as far from, like, it was still in Ontario, so sort of safe, not moving out of the province. Yep. And, you know, even that night I woke up all stressed up because I was like, what did we just do? Like, we've gone into debt, you know, we said we would never do that again. And yes, it's a beautiful home. Yes, it was safer to stay in Ontario. You know, oh, I think we're in now. We made that offer. So all night I wasn't sleeping well. And, you know, my husband said he's okay either way. I wasn't. And then the next day, we didn't hear back for quite some time. And we knew there was a problem. And there was a difficulty in the marriage of the people that were selling it. And anyway, long story short, you needed two signatures and one person wasn't there. So the deal fell through. Wow. And then I said to myself, oh, I breathed and said, that wasn't supposed to be our home. And you're supposed to make this bigger leap, Moira, and go to Nova Scotia, go out of province.
Yes.
And I woke up after a nap after that and felt, oh, yes, thank you. You know, that's that trusting and allowing and surrendering and really knowing once you've asked what you want. So quite the journey and the magic of life.
And you also mentioned that happened after a nap.
Yes.
Right. So nap, rest, and rest at a time when you need it. And also when we're napping, when we're meditating, when we're doing practices like yoga nidra, or when we're sleeping, our brain is actually, accessing super centers of the nervous system that are responsible for clarity. Mm-hmm. And this is why, you know, that old adage of, you know, if you have a big decision to make, I know when I was growing up, I was always told, you know, don't worry about it, just sleep on it.
Yes.
So that wisdom comes from that knowledge, that innate knowing that when we sleep, there's a part of ourselves, a part of our brain that switches on and helps with clarity. And with decision making and with problem solving.
And yes, that's excellent to know. And I am a meditator. I am a napper at times. We all have different rhythms in my family, times we sleep, and we all honor it because it's not, oh, you sleep in or you don't sleep in or you're a morning person. It's just, it's whatever your body is and honoring the other people, what that is for them. Do you have an exercise to let go of the past, you know, for people to release that emotional burdens they have or the baggage from the past? Because you're talking about the deeper level of the mind. So
yes,
can feel lighter in that. Is there an exercise you have for that?
Yes. So I am a huge fan of hypnosis and hypnotherapy in order to let go of things from the past, Moira. Mm-hmm. Because hypnosis and hypnotherapy work with the subconscious mind, right?
Yes. Yes.
And the subconscious mind is the storehouse, or if you want to think of it kind of like an archive, a bank, of all of your past experiences, emotions, thought processes, life events, memories, also your values, your phobias, your needs, your wants, all of that is stored in your subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. A big fan and a big advocate of letting go of emotions and memories and events from the past at a subconscious level. Because if we only do that at a conscious level, we won't be able to access the freedom from that we want, and it will become too much of a laborious event. This is why talk therapy isn't always successful or as successful, rapidly successful, as many of us would like it to be when we're dealing with these chronic conditions of burnout and chronic conditions that come from unregulated stress responses. Because what dysregulates our stress response, other than not taking time to reset, is also not dealing with emotional, overwhelming negative emotions from the past.
And I know that if you don't deal with the past or problems you have, it will come to you in some other form. It might look different. So you have to work with your stuff.
100%. Yes. And I just want to share with you a story in my own life, in my own journey, because you asked earlier about my story of transformation and how that came
excellent.
To be. So, and it relates to letting go of the past and, you know, us not really knowing what it is that's limiting us. So after that car spun and I was so petrified. And I actually, Moira, I hid that from everyone around me because I couldn't explain it to anyone, let alone myself.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how the body and the nervous system work. You know, they're always working for your healing and for self-resolution. And so things continued to get worse. And so the dizziness and the fainting spells continued. So I would be at work and I would pass out. I would be working out and I would pass out. Eventually I had to face the reality that something was not right. And so I started going to doctors. And when I went to the doctors, I was convinced that there was something neurological to explain these blackouts and these fainting spells, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then test after test after test after test was coming back negative. And after about, you know, five rounds of doctor's visits, or the fifth doctor I haven't been to, the doctor comes into the office and he says, "Oh, Faye, I have really good news for you." And I'm like, so my heart was pounding and I was so elated, Moira, because I thought he was going to give me a diagnosis.
Yes.
A medical diagnosis that I could then go and take a pill for. Because this was the mentality that I was in back then. This was 2006, 15 years ago. And so he came back and he said, "There is nothing wrong. All your tests are negative." I burst into tears, but it was the type of tears where it was like sobbing from the heart and like drooling. And it's like, "Oh, doctor, how could it be if there's nothing wrong with me? Why am I not feeling okay?" I mean, that was the message. That was the question that framed my thought process then started my inquiry into what it means to be well, because his diagnosis was depression and PTSD, and I totally dismissed both of the diagnoses because I think I was looking for a quick fix back then. And also I said to him, "Well, nothing traumatic has ever happened to me. How could I, you know, have PTSD and depression? I can't be depressed because I'm positive and cheerful," because I was wearing a lot of masks back then. And so eventually I realized that potentially the way that I feel on the inside, my psychology could be affecting my physiology. And so his recommendation was antidepressants and talk therapy. So I refused the antidepressants right off the bat because I I wanted a solution that was natural and fast and effective and that worked and that had no side effects. And intuitively, I knew and I felt that the medication wasn't going to tick those boxes. And the talk therapy, I thought, you know, there's some merit in exploring this because, yes, there could be something psychologically that's creating a feeling of unwellness. Moira, I went to 2 sessions of talk therapy and I never returned because I felt worse after each and every single one. Going round and round and round, talking about my life and everything that's wrong with it and everything that happened, all my negative emotions, without resolving it, really resolving it, it just re-traumatized me and I did not like it.
I also have interviewed some wonderful guests who have had similar experiences where they went to this talk therapy and, you know, they shared and then they more or less just jumped right in. I'm not judging this at all because in some cases maybe it's okay. So I'm just saying in their case, they were right away told, you know, this is you, this is what you have, in a little different. And, you know, and we're going to put you on these drugs for the rest of your life. That's the answer. And that, you know, that's a big thing to say to somebody. I'm more of a natural person. Cliff and I have always done our health naturally, but there's a place, there's definitely a place for medical, you know, and doctors. Again, I told you he went through cancer last year and a heart attack. He had the best doctors and the staff and everyone. Well, that's not natural. You need a doctor for that. So there's a place, there's a balance for everything. And yes, if somebody tells you something, it's a very personal thing. Maybe someone says, that will help them. They go on, you know, antidepressants or, you know, depression things. Again, I've heard that side of the story, but the other one I've heard it's not. So it's a very personal healing journey.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And it has to feel right, whatever you do.
Yes.
And it just didn't feel right for me back then. And that's what started, that's what put me on this inquiry into what does it take to be well. Because I didn't want, I didn't take up the medical establishment on their prescriptions. So it meant if I wanted to be well, I had to figure it out for myself. And that's what started this inquiry that eventually culminated in a system that I now use with professionals that I work with who are burnt out and suffer from all these chronic conditions. But just coming back to the subconscious. So this, I was 36 when that happened. So fast forward, and things slowly started to get better as I started learning and applying different wellness techniques and different wellness practices. And the most immediate thing that got better was the dizziness and the fainting spells, because that was the most immediate thing that I needed, that I wanted help with and that I needed to resolve. Fast forward to the time that I turned 40. At this point, I was living in Dubai. I got offered a job as a teacher trainer at one of the universities there, which is where I met my Kiwi husband, by the way.
Oh, in Dubai. That's
Dubai. Yes. He had the office right next door to me. My symptoms, I had my second burnout in Dubai. In my second burnout, I manifested precancerous cells. And that was the biggest, that was really had to stop and in a different way than I had when I was in Curacao 4 years earlier.
That's called a wake-up call, right?
Because that summer, my mom was diagnosed with cancer and my maternal aunt passed away from cancer. Mm-hmm. So I knew, there was a part of me that knew that if I didn't course correct in a radical way, the outcome would not be consistent with the way I want to live my life, which is to be healthy and well. And so at that point, I was digging into finding out how to let go of the past. So just relating back to your question, how do you let go of the past? And everywhere I went, the subconscious mind kept coming up. You have to clear these things from this level of the subconscious. So I booked in with a hypnotherapist in order to... Moira, are you still there?
I am. You're cutting out a little bit, Faye. I don't know on your side.
Can you hear me?
I can. There's some cut up. So sorry to the listeners. We are New Zealand to Canada. So there's a little bit of a cutout going on. But
there was something funky that happened even here with the electricity, but it's okay now. So okay.
Yeah.
So when I went to the hypnotherapist, the hypnotherapist at the time did what I now do for my clients, which is instruct the subconscious mind to go back to the very first time that was responsible for all of the troubles and conflicts in my life as an adult. And the mind is very compliant, Moira. It will do exactly what we ask it to, exactly, because it's there to serve us. Mm-hmm. And so the mind went back to the time that I was 5 years old, and we were fleeing the war zone in Lebanon. And my father wasn't with us because my father, in the lead up to the war, had been kidnapped 3 times. The last time he was kidnapped, he was in captivity for over a week. He was kidnapped with 39 other people, and they assassinated 36 people.
That would be terrifying. Terrifying.
Horrible. Mm-hmm. So when things were getting really bad with the war, he could not return to the country. And so we left the war without him. So here's my mom with 3 young children. I'm 5. My little brother is 3. My little sister is 1.5 years. And we're fleeing a war zone. And somehow my mom was told that it's good to leave within a certain window in the middle of the night. And about 10 minutes into the journey, the shelling started. So there were bombs starting to fall in the distance. There was shell fire overhead. But my mom, in an attempt to keep us kids safe, she pushed our heads underneath the seat of the car. Now, in that moment, my nervous system, the nervous system of the 5-year-old, went into panic mode, went into overwhelm and fear mode, and the 5-year-old couldn't breathe. And that is what my subconscious mind revealed as being the root cause of the imbalances that were limiting me in my adult life, in my health, in my career, and in my relationships. Mm-hmm. When I came out of that hypnosis session, I totally dismissed that as bullshit, because I was thinking to myself, how could something that happened when I was 5 have any bearing on my health, my career, and my relationships as a 40-year-old.
So you did go on a major educational journey. I know that it's part of my work, but I think that, like you said,
this is what I say, Moira, that just because you're not aware of something that's there that's unresolved, it doesn't mean that it's not there, and it doesn't mean that it's not imbalancing your life and your nervous system. Mm-hmm. And there is no way I could have accessed that through conscious talk therapies. It needed to be done and cleared at the part of the mind where this memory is stored and where it's creating the imbalances.
Well, that's wonderful. In my work, I do work called Conscious Core Transformation, and I'm also an empath and an intuitive, so I see spirit and they come in.
Wow.
I talk to them and whoever comes in.
Wow.
And the person, the healing age shows up because they show up as that age. And, you know, like, oh, you look like you're 4 or 5 or whatever it is. So the information is given to me that way. But it's also, like you said before, language is very powerful in CCT work, in the sense that what people are saying, they're not conscious of what they're saying, let alone thinking. With whatever they're saying, there's a counterpart to it. You know, there's over here, this is what you're saying, and then what is the opposite to it? So there's a clarity and a whole learning through that to heal at a very core level. This has been wonderful today, Faye. And again, to my listeners, there was some cut up, but you know, we transcribe every show. I take extra time to do that. So if you didn't hear something from Faye, go on over to the transcription and also read it. Faye, can you briefly share with us, you know, the special gift and offer that you'd like to give to our listeners and community today?
And with pleasure.
Yes. And these links are below in the show notes. I say that every week, so people can go there to get the links. Thank you.
Yeah, with pleasure, Moira. And so I would love to share with your listeners an audio download to help you check in with yourself. So that's that practice I was sharing earlier that is a fundamental in my life on a daily basis to keep me connected to myself and to care for my nervous system. So it's a very simple 10-minute, well, the audio is 10 minutes, but after some time of doing it with the aid of the audio, it will become an automated part of your routine where you won't need the audio anymore. But it's a good place to start, and it's about a 10-minute audio. Help you really in with yourself and start the day with a feeling of grounding and connectedness to yourself before you meet the world.
Great.
And I'd also love to offer your listeners and your community a 15% discount on a private hypno-coaching session for internal conflict resolution, where we work on resolving the internal conflict at the level of the nervous system and the subconscious mind using my proprietary system.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and this is all done online. So wherever you are in the world, you can do this work.
Isn't that wonderful? We can reach out to people all over the world. Faye, thank you for sharing from your heart and soul your wisdom on how to reclaim the magical quality of your life. Namaste.
It was lovely to connect with you, Moira.
Yeah, you too, Faye. You have a wonderful day, you and Kristen.
You too. Awesome. All the best.
Day. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Heart Soul Wisdom Podcast with Moira Sutton. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please join our community at moirasutton.com and continue the discussion on our Facebook page, Create the Life You Love. You will be part of a global movement, connecting with other heart-centered people who are consciously creating the life they love on their own terms. Together, we can raise our consciousness for the greater good of humanity and for our planet.